Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about discovery in the context of inner travel. Just as the early explorers navigated through uncharted territories, the yogi enters the inner world of thoughts, feelings, imagination, and ideas. Listen as we compare outer travel with the less tangible inner experience. We will discuss the various inner climates and conditions that can make inner travel as challenging and exciting as outer space trips. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light in your soul and experience the benefits of internal support. So Swami, in my research for notes for our show today, I came across a couple of quotes, and this is from Jagad Guru. And he says that yoga is a process of self-discovery, a process of uncovering or clearing away what's keeping us from understanding our true identity and value. So that leads me to ask you this question is, what do you think that's keeping us from understanding our true identity and value?
Well, I always refer to that whole concept of the original sin, that we come in our physical bodies have a pattern, that we look for things visible and tangible for validation. And when you understand yoga as a spiritual science and also instruction to do something, that we're trying to separate from one source of sustenance and rejoin with another one, that the forces that are at work are really stacked to keep us where we are. And so yoga, if you really cross-examine it, is a complete game plan in how to develop all the things that we need to overcome these forces that are keeping us stuck in a limited sense of who we are. We're in the realms of suffering and decay. So that gives us plenty of reason why we would want to experience what is referred to as liberation or true freedom or true consciousness or self-realization, however you want to describe it, that it's a real experience.
Well, he goes on to say in the rest of the paragraph that yoga is a process that one follows to clear the cobwebs of the mind, intelligence, and heart, so that he can see and understand himself, others, and the world clearly as they are. So he talks about the process, and I know we've talked about that in several of our shows, that there is a process and a procedure. And so where is our starting point?
Well, the starting point of yoga is really union of the individual with the divine. It is when we separate from our attachment to things visible and tangible, or also things invisible but tangible. So you have to separate from what's called duality. And then you have to join with the unified field. You have to join with truth and wholeness. And when you do that, that is what initiates this progressive cycle. And basically what starts to happen is that matter and mind come together with new information, and that initiates this impregnating the seed of the conscious mind, and your mind starts to grow. Consciousness starts to expand beyond the limits of just seeing ourselves as separate. When you initiate that process and you start to grow in a positive direction, then what starts to change is your perspective. You move from a body that has a mind and perchance a soul to a spirit functioning through a mind and a body. That you start to realize that you are an eternal spiritual being, that you always were, you always will be. And you're also drawing from a resource of energy that is unchanging, inexhaustible, and always moving lifeward, and produces peace, love, happiness, and goodness.
Yeah, he says here too that the path of yoga is a personal journey that you yourself must follow to uncover your true identity through direct experience and perception. And we were just talking about perception a little while ago. How important is that to this self-discovery and our own development?
Your perception or your perspective is paramount. And our original state is that we're kind of bound up in our physical bodies. We just see ourselves as separate entities. And there's nothing wrong with it, but you're drawing from a resource of energy that is keeping you in this limited perspective. And that's what religion and that's what yoga as spiritual sciences were designed to do, were to teach human beings how to grow psychologically and spiritually, how to transcend the limits of just seeing ourselves as separate, and to link with a part of ourselves that is unchanging, permanent, and growing.
And we've been talking about before that we can't serve two masters, and I was kind of wondering if you could explain to us how that is important in the role of self-discovery.
Yeah, well, it's the ongoing struggle between matter and spirit. And in the Bible, it is said that a friend of the world is an enemy of God's. That you can't draw from fear and limitation and expect to become truth and wholeness. That's the physics of spirituality. That's the like attracts like. And then you start to unbox that, especially with regard to the term discovery, which to me is an interesting term to begin with, because we're not inventing anything, but we are uncovering what is already there. Just like a sculptor exposes the image hidden in the stone. That we're already spiritual, but we don't understand that. We don't have attention for it. And so this perspective has to be changed. And that's what religion and yoga are. It's systems for this unfolding, this discovering that I am a eternal spiritual being. I am unchanging, indestructible.
How does that help us in our developmental process? Because if I just think I'm spiritual, that doesn't mean I really am spiritual. If I just think it, I mean, don't I have to do something or demonstrate? Or it's not just a thinking that I am. I really have to behave as I am.
Oh, yeah. It's a real experience. And like you say, And that's why one of the biggest misconceptions today is that we think religion is a belief system. We think it's something to believe in, as opposed to instruction to do something. That the true unfolding of one as a eternal spiritual being is found in understanding ourselves spiritually, understanding spiritual law. that's at work. And the benefit that comes with this understanding, to be able to live in harmony with divine law seeking expression, to be able to live in the midst of all of the constant changes that are taking place, and to still see the peace, love, happiness, and goodness in creation, is the benefit of this particular experience. But it comes with spiritual understanding, and not just declaring that I'm spiritual, that there's physics. And it comes with this joining of matter and mind with a different energy field, right? Because 98% of this universe is invisible. And if we have desire for things that are visible and tangible, we really are limited to about 2% of reality. We've disconnected ourselves from 98% of the universe. And so yoga and religion as metaphysical and mystical systems were designed to make this conversion, that you were not a human being that was seeking particles and waves anymore, but you were a human being that was seeking divine law, this indivisible unified field, and not just academic or intellectually, but to desire this void or this nothing, to love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, so that you feel connected to something that is pure, powerful, sacred, unchanging.
Now, is that what they mean when they say, like, yoga is a science, and then to understand any science, you have to understand the truth that's behind science? Are you saying that's one of the major truths about yoga?
Exactly. That these are spiritual laws that are at work, and that this unfolding that takes place is really an evidence procedure to it. And one of the things we always say, it parallels the metamorphosis of a butterfly. Mm-hmm. Butterflies aren't born butterflies, they're born caterpillars. Humans in the larvae state are at a certain level of consciousness. We have a certain desire for things visible and tangible. But we're careless, we're emotional, we're indulgent, we're excitable. Then if the human makes a shift and moves from particles and moves into the realms of waves, which is energy, the realms of mind and thought, then it's a change, and in some respects it may be better than somebody who is in the larvae state, but by the same token, you're careful, you're intelligent, you're ambitious, but you're abstinent. You're still struggling with duality, trying to complete yourself in a resource that is limiting. But if the human being joins with this indivisible unified field, with truth and wholeness, then it initiates this progressive cycle. Matter and mind. Now the caterpillar that was in a chrysalis now becomes the butterfly. And the interesting thing about the butterfly is that the butterfly has options that caterpillars don't. Butterflies, if they want, they can crawl around on the ground, but if they want, they can fly. They can access these invisible and invisible, intangible resources of energy and utilize them as sources of sustenance and maximize this experience of life. You open yourself up to the additional 98% of this universe. Talk about your abundance mentality.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good place to pause. So, listeners, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be back with you in a few moments.
Wake up one morning and it's like, you know what?
Breathe Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, again, in my research travels for content for the radio show, I came across an article online from Yoga Journal, and the writer of this particular article is interviewing somebody, and the question that they ask is, in some of your blog posts and on social media, you seem to be saying that we should all enjoy a little decadence now and then. We second that emotion. So I think one of the first things I found was that I was a little disturbed that Yoga Journal is actually condoning that kind of behavior about being decadent, that they just, in my opinion, I don't think they just really understand what it means to be spiritual. I mean, what is your take on that?
Well, I would agree. I mean, but there's a big difference between yoga as a secular practice, which is what most people really use it as. It's much, much more social than it is as a means of talking about here, self-discovery, and this is self-discovery with a capital S. Just like we had said earlier, you can't serve two masters, that you can't be embroiled in the physical world and still have attention for this invisible, intangible resource. And even say, for example, the story of the fall from Eden in the Bible. It's one bite of an apple from one of these trees, and you're banished, and you're in the realms of suffering and decay. The problem with most of it is people don't understand the goals and objectives of the science of yoga and the role of purification. And so when people do detox, they're doing it so that they can look younger, live longer, and they're abstaining from things as opposed to making a conversion, which is what true yoga does. That you're not giving up cookies. You're basically using this invisible, intangible resource as a source of sustenance. You're not abstaining, you're indulging. So it's not just living a little kind of thing. It's not a little decadence. This actually becomes living a lot. That now what you're using to validate yourself, which is your number one need, is now associated with your peak experience feeling. And so you're not abstaining, but you're indulging. And that's where this whole concept of discovery and the whole thing of using a yoga practice as a vehicle to try and get beyond these forces, the forces of the body, the pain, pleasure, control dramas of the physical body are a big barrier. just like the Earth's gravitational pull is a big barrier to the astronaut trying to get into outer space. And that's where you employ strategies, using the physical body, using the instincts and the appetites of the body to develop willpower. And then, of course, using willpower to control your thoughts. And your intention here is not just to control your thoughts, but it's to train your mind to look for something that's invisible and intangible. Train your mind to serve spirit so that you can internalize the image in your physical body. And there's going to be a lot of influences that are out there that are going to interfere with your ability to do this, to demonstrate this experience. And if you think that you can do things in a moderate fashion, then you really don't have an understanding of yoga as a spiritual science. You're more casually interested or idly curious about yoga as a form of entertainment or a form of exercise, but you're not interested in self-discovery.
Well, interesting, because I have another quote from earlier, and it says, like, the true understanding of the nature of things and their actual relationships is known as self-realization. Acting on the basis of that self-realization is known as wisdom. So we can think something or know something, but like we said earlier, until we actually start to do it, that's when the change takes place.
Sure, that's a whole different level of understanding. It's like reading books about snowboarding. You could talk snowboarding with all the best snowboarders in the country, but you could find yourself on a mountain on a snowboard, unable to get down because you never snowboarded. Mm-hmm. And the same is true with a yoga practice or any spiritual practice, that it really requires application. Pragmatic application, going from knowing to doing, is that quantum leap. And the same is true with your practice of yoga. To be able to demonstrate spiritual law is really what we're trying to accomplish.
Right, and then to understand ourselves and the world we live in, but then to apply it correctly, I think, is going to be the challenge.
Yeah. And that's where yoga as a spiritual science, to me, the ultimate guideline, because it gives you everything that you need to be able to go from knowing to doing. It's a path of action. It's things that you can and you must do. It's a path of knowledge. All the information that you need to know about yourself, that we're not just a physical body, but we're a compilation of physical, mental, and spiritual forces that are at work. And anytime you're in a particular dimension of reality, all the rules change. But it is the spiritual laws that are the ones that are superior. They're the ones that have the final say. So even if you make changes on a physical level, and if you don't make them on a mental or a spiritual level, then they don't appear.
So if we have to understand on those three levels, I think where most people are stuck in is on the physical level. Can't get past that physical level. How I feel, if I do this, I'll feel this way. If I don't do this, I'll feel that way. And I think getting past how we feel and not understanding where we are in the relationship with the whole.
Right. Or just trying to understand how you feel without understanding how you're thinking and what you're doing can also be a barrier. Mm-hmm. That it's not one or the other. You really have to understand yourself on all levels in order to really be able to harness the essential forces that are at work here and to be able to direct your life in a way that is going to be productive of a healthy experience of becoming a whole person. So the process in yoga really is first you must divide and conquer before you can unite and stand. That even though we are eternal spiritual beings, we do not have attention for that. There's this unfolding that has to take place. Just like we had said, it is the sculptor that is revealing the image that is hidden in the stone. We're already spiritual, but now you've got to be able to carve out the desired image.
Now, is that where the eight essential stages of yoga come into play?
Oh, absolutely. That it's a complete holistic health management system. And especially for this concept of inner travel. And one of the first realizations I think that we come upon when we are doing this type of work is that what surrounds us is within us. And that this concept of vision isn't just the inward movement of light, but it's the outward projection of the image. That we are basically, we are influencing our reality. That our material mortal mind gives us a perspective on reality. And sure, we can change things with positive thinking. But by the same token, there is an even better way of doing things, what we call spiritually, by turning over your entire sense of well-being and who you are to divine law seeking expression means that the scientific government of your body is attained through divine mind. And that's in compliance with the Christian concept of what is said in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. That really what we're trying to do is just harmonize ourselves with divine law. If we get too bound up in our personal story, then we can create conflict with that. Resistance to it, which then puts us out of harmony with it. And that's where we wind up with a lot of problems.
Yeah, because it seems like, and I think I've heard you say this before, is that we don't want to see ourselves as separate, right? But at the same time, when you say thy will be done, I think some people may have a real challenge with, I don't want to use the phrase letting go, but not having the control, like thy will be done. I think people still feel like do something. They have to be in the driver's seat and not in the co-pilot seat.
Yeah, and that's where you're getting into the whole thing of consciousness and when it becomes depersonalized, we become the universe experiencing itself like a mirror appearing in its own reflection. See, the human is a reflection of God's own likeness. And that's an important understanding. And that's what puts us in harmony with divine law.
Well, I think it's probably about that time we need to start our program. So, listeners, I would like to invite you to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make comments about this show or post any of the comments. Give us ideas of future shows you may want us to consider. But do keep those comments and curiosities coming. We do enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to discuss the new moon in Libra, which is going to bring balance. And also be sure to listen to our Facebook Live sessions that we have Wednesdays at 5 p.m. So, Swami, do you have any final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to say that just as the astronaut knows when they are in outer space, outside the Earth's gravitational forces. The yogi knows when they are in inner space, outside the government of the senses, totally free from the limitations of sensual influence and duality. And with that, I would like to wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.